The Maker's House Chapel International presents Destiny Word with Dr. Michael Brady Damichek. As a child of God, you are mandated to take territories and fulfill your destiny. Destiny Word is designed to help illuminate your path towards a purpose-driven life. Please stay tuned for the unadulterated Word of God, a word that not only brings focus to your life, but also helps you navigate the challenges that comes your way.
I have come to the conclusion that nobody in this world can make you happy. That happiness is internally driven. It has to have a form of an internal drive. So when you come into church, you don't expect anybody to make you happy. You'll come with your own happiness. You'll come with your praise. You'll come with your excitement. Look at somebody and tell the person, come with your praise. Can you look at somebody and say, come with your praise? And oftentimes, just as we say, you don't only have to come with your praise, but you have to be the praise booster for another person. Is there any booster in this space? Yeah. Is there any praise booster in this space? Come on, lift your voice and give Jesus a better clap offering. Hallelujah. You should be excited you're alive. That alone should give you a cause to thank God. One of our friends, somebody that I know, we call him an acquaintance. About 2 weeks ago, when on the fest, which happened to be the holiday, Farmer's Day on the fest, we happened to be in the same space having conversations. He was there with the other guys, and so there were talks going on. A few days after, that was on Friday, we saw him. Sunday, he went to the clubhouse again, and by Monday, Tuesday, he was gone. Somebody was playing football. Gone. So it doesn't require... In fact, God keeps people... It's not because you are active or you eat well. Some of you eat like me. We enjoy our gari like that. We enjoy our soakings like that. If you get your soakings and you put some peanut in them. Oh, Jesus is Lord. That's enough. If you're lucky enough and you're able to get Fun Ice, that's a combination of the sugar and the milk. Fun Ice. Oh boy. A few days ago, I tried gari and melon milk. It was heaven on earth. I had a taste of heaven. I said, wow, heaven bear do. Some of you eat like me. You don't do your regular steak and your protein is not too tight. Your protein game is not tight. And yet God keeps you alive. Your life is balanced, but your diet is not. And yet God keeps you alive. And if you happen to be in my space, nobody will tell you to praise God. You praise Him anyway. You praise Him all the way. You praise Him every time, all the time. Come on, praise the Lord, all ye people. And give Jesus. It should be about 50, between 50 and 52. Active. He has money, but gone. So if you don't have money and you're still here, you have something that money cannot purchase. You have something that gold cannot secure. You have something that silver cannot procure. I only came to talk to grateful people today. Just preparing your minds for next week's Thanksgiving service. That when you're coming, you'll come with your praise. When you're coming, you'll come with your worship. Hallelujah to the Lamb. How many of you came with your Bibles? Shall we do our affirmation real quick and read the test? Let's do our affirmation. I rely totally on the grace of God this year. By His grace, I will grow on every side. Growth in my spirituality, growth in my business, growth in my emotions, growth in my thinking, growth in my career, growth in my personal life, growth in favor and scope of influence. My best days are ahead of me. In Jesus' name. And may that be your portion. Before I even read the test, can you lift up your right hand? Before this year runs out, this will have room for expression in your life. What you read, what you just professed, what you just declared, before this year is over, may these statements, may these declarations find room for expression in your life in the name of Jesus. That it will surely be your year of growth in every area, your spirituality, your emotions, in every area, in your finances, your scope of influence, your businesses. May God give you room for expression in the mighty name of Jesus. Look at somebody and say, this is surely my year of growth. Can you look for 7 people before we read the test? Tell them, this is surely my year of growth. May you prosper in this year. May you thrive in this year. May you succeed in this year. I just came to tell somebody, even if it's left to the last minute of the last hour, let me rewind. If it's left with the last nanosecond of the last second of the last minute of the last hour of the last day of 2023, you shall still walk in this. May you walk in that prophetic statement. May it be your place, your habitat, and you walk in it. Praise the name of the Lord our God. 2023 is surely my year of growth, and I am walking and resting in it. It hit differently this morning to me. Because I was just looking at it right now and I was saying, okay, the year is about to end. We are left with technically 21 days. Today is the 10th. 3 weeks to go. Then I just said to myself, 3 weeks is a long time in the hands of God. 3 weeks is a long time in the hands of God. 3 weeks is a long... Look at somebody and tell the person exactly that. 3 weeks is a long... Can you stress on the word long for me? 3 weeks? It's a long time. It's a long time. 3 weeks. What God can do in 3 weeks, it will blow your mind. What God can do in 3 weeks. The one that the Bible says, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years can be shrunk into a day. So what it will take a long process to do it, to accomplish it, God can just say that, you know what, take it. May that be your portion in this year. 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 2023 is surely my year of growth. And I'm walking. And I am resting. 2023 is surely your year of growth. And may you walk. And may you rest in that word. Shout a big amen to that. If you came with your Bibles, could you please lift it up and say, this is my Bible. It is the word of God. I'll go where it says I can go. I will achieve what it says I can achieve. I'll be what it says I can be. Slap your chest and say, I am a believer. Come on, do it again. Say, I am a believer. I want to invite your hearts and minds to the book of Psalm 92. Your hearts and minds, the book of Psalm 92. Invite your senses and your intellect to the book of Psalm 92. We'll be doing only the verse number 10. Psalm 92. But my horn hast thou exalted like the horn of a wild ox. KJV will use unicorn, I guess. King James, those of you that are doing King James, you'll hear unicorn. It's an ox, wild ox. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a wild horse, a wild ox, or a unicorn, and I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Heavenly Father, we know the grass will wither, the flower will fade, but your word will abide forever. We pray that in this time that you've given to us, you give us a word that works. I know in these lips of clay, make it an instrument of a blessing to somebody's life. Oh God, speak to me, speak for me, and speak through me. That when it's all said and done, your people will be edified and you will be glorified. That no flesh can glory. In the name of the one who rules, reigns, and has regency, Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God, we have prayed. Amen. Look for somebody and tell the person, expect more. Look for somebody and tell the person, just expect more. And ask another person, which of the dimensions are you operating on? All right, if you've done that, you can take your seats. I'm excited to bring to your attention that gradually the year is coming to an end, and this series is also going to come to an end in no time. But we have started the journey, which it's, of course, if you have followed the biblical narrative, you will understand that God often will not use anything that he has created to represent himself, because he's obviously above everything that he has created. He has put himself in everything that he has created, such that every creation of God will have something that is God's. Like we have something that is God's, like the animals, like the plants, like all of them, there is something in God. That's why the Bible tells you that in him all things consist. So everything is in him, and everything came out of him. So whatever you are seeing in the material world is just an extraction of what happens to be in him. We started the journey, and I brought to your attention the apocalyptic writings of the man called Ezekiel. Ezekiel was by the river. This was the time that they were in exile. The people of Israel were held captives by the king called Nebuchadnezzar. It was the same time that Daniel was. It was the same time that actually Jeremiah was, to a larger extent. And all these people who were experiencing the exile moments of the course of God's people happened to also have encounters with God. But whilst he was having an encounter with God by the river, he saw living creatures. He saw them and he felt that they were God. They were God. He felt that these four people were just the similitude of God, or God manifesting through them. In fact, in his writing, he said he had visions of God. That was all that he was saying. So he saw them as God, not as seraphims or cherubs. He did not see them as angels. And there are classes which we will talk about in the final phase of this whole series, how the angelic order, who comes after who or what comes after what. And that will explain the man part when we are doing the face of the man. But in talking about that, he now started by talking about the appearance of what he saw. He said that he saw them with eyes all around them. They had the feet like that of a calf, or they had a hoof. And because of that, they didn't have to turn, because their feet was pointing downwards. They just had to move wherever they wanted to move without turning. But when he was explaining and describing what he had seen, he said that they had a form like that of a human being, but they had faces that had that of the animals and a man in this realm. And he said that he saw one of them and the back, or the rear, that's how he called it, one of the sides was that of an eagle. And we spoke about that of the eagle. We mentioned why God will use that, and Ezekiel will see that as God. And whilst Ezekiel is seeing that as God, God wants us to also know that if we are operating with him, that is a dimension he will want us to also operate on. But it cuts two ways. If God was to use that for himself, then it means that there is something that God does that you can also tell that that is also the nature of the eagle itself. Because, of course, if he is saying that a face was like that of the eagle, I spoke to you and I told you that because the eagle is monogamous, the eagle is loyal, the eagle understands the female columns, the eagle knows that it has to move alone, especially when it's hunting, because the eagle doesn't need to be distracted. And as a child of God, in your pursuit of life, you have to get to the place where you don't allow anything to distract you. Normally we fail because we are distracted by so many things. God has given you a vision, there is a pursuit, a burning sensation in your heart that this is where God is sending you to, and you are distracted by so many people. You are thinking about A, you are thinking about B, you are thinking about C, and the many things you are thinking about is taking you away from the path that you are supposed to pursue. And the eagle doesn't do that. It goes alone because it doesn't want distraction. You have to get to a place, child of God, where you cut out the noise and not allow yourself to be easily distracted. You have to keep your eyes on the prize, where you are going, what God has said to you. If God is saying that I want to make you that, keep your eyes on that. If God is saying that I want to lift you, keep your eyes on the lifting. If God is saying that I want to make you a member of parliament, keep your eyes on that seat of parliament. What it means is that you don't have to be distracted, because God is sending you somewhere. There are others that are going to come and try to distract you, and anytime they are distracting you, they are pulling you away from where God is sending you to. But if you have the spirit, the mindset, the understanding of that of the eagle, you know that everything else doesn't matter. What matters is the prize, what you are after, what you are hunting. And because you are going after that, that is the only thing that will bring you gratification or bring you excitement. And until you get that excitement, you don't settle for anything. But not only that, because that is looking at it from the man's perspective. What of the God's perspective? In the God's perspective, you have to understand that the eagle will always stir the nest. That's how the Bible will call it, will stir the nest. And while the eagle is stirring the nest, it's making the nest uncomfortable so that the eaglets will learn how to fly. And that is to let you know that sometimes God will get you to a place and God will stir your nest and your relationship nest. God is stirring it to let you know that that disappointment is just so that you move to the next level. You've stayed in that place for too long, and in that same workspace you've been in that place for too long. And so people will come in your space and will try to disturb your equilibrium. They will try to distract you and destroy you and undermine you, and you feel uncomfortable and you are thinking, God, did you bring me here to kill me, to destroy me, or to waste my life? But I heard a voice from heaven saying that I am just stirring your nest. And anytime I'm stirring your nest, I'm just preparing you to take flight to your next level. Is there anybody that feels any form of discomfort? It is just God stirring your nest and telling you that you are bigger than where you are. And because of that, you cannot stay where you are anymore. And that is how the eagle treats its eaglets. It just makes the nest uncomfortable. Makes it uncomfortable so that they will not stay there and wait for mommy to bring it food anymore. The eagle doesn't do that. It stares the nest. It makes it uncomfortable. So could it be that most of the things that you are going through, that you call discouragement, that you call disappointment, that you call betrayal, that you call anything that you name it, whatever name you put on it, is it possible that God himself is tearing your nest to make you uncomfortable so that you can learn to take flight and not stay where you are? May God give you the wings like that of the eagle. That is why God says that they that wait upon God, they shall renew their strength and mount up with wings like that of the eagle. God is just getting you ready to mount up with the wings like that of the eagle. May you begin to soar on eagle's wings from today. May God bring you to a place that your discomfort will give you flight. That what which you call discomfort, may it bring you the flight you require to get to your next level. The eagle is not just called the most powerful bird, it's also called the king of the air. The king of the air, because the eagle understands that adversity is necessary. In kinship, you don't run away from adversity. And I'll tell you that all the animals God used in that scenario, all of them, they learn how to embrace adversity. All of them. It is only human beings that adversity makes us shudder. But the eagle sees the winds coming and tells itself, well, it can kill other birds, but not me. It can destroy other birds, but not me. It can frustrate other birds, but not me. May God bring you to the place where you have that mindset that what kills others will not be able to kill you. That what destroy others will not be able to destroy you. May God bring, can I talk to a few of you? May God bring you to a place where you realize that what destroy others do not have what it takes to destroy you. May God bring you to that place where you have that understanding that what kills others does not destroy the ego. What kills others cannot. It is impossible. Because the ego understands that what kills others is just my stepping stone. What kills others is my launch pad. What kills others, may God bring it to you, but may you step on it and jump to your next level. May God give you the grace and the ability to jump to your next level. Whatever is called adversity, may God give you what it takes. The ego, please say, let me just get out of my introduction. But the ego is a king, not because it's the biggest, because of its attributes. See, your character is what makes you a leader. It's not the problems that come. It's the character you show. The spine you have. You don't buckle with trepidation when there is adversity. That's leadership. And we spoke about the lion last week. I loved the lion. Because the lion is not big, but is mighty. Somebody said something that I love, and let me quote. He said, it's not the size of the dog in a fight, but the size of the fight in the dog. It's not your size that matters, but what you carry within you. And I pray that God will give you something that is bigger than what the world will throw at you. The eagle is big in the air, but the lion doesn't go up there. You have to understand the extent of your habitat. That your grace and your ability and the gift and the mantle and the mandate God has given to you is not necessarily universal. No matter how bold the lion is, it does not compete with the eagle in its terrain. It doesn't fly. It stays on ground. You have to stay in the zone God has placed you and be the best where God has placed you. It's not going to compete with an eagle arboreally. Airwise, it's going to stay here. And the eagle will also not come and compete in the jungle with the lion. It just tells you that just as I mentioned last week, the lion has what we call territorial awareness. It understands its territories. It does not allow anything that is unwelcomed to stay in its territory. It marks the territory. When you see a lion moving about, and those of you that have ever kept dogs in your house, when you bring a new dog to your house, the first thing the dog will do is to go around and urinate all over the place and just spot places, just telling any other dog that will come that if you thought you were here, I am here also. And if you're coming here, I'm here. This is my habitat. And so don't come here. May God give you an understanding. Listen to me, child of God. Until you understand your territory, anybody else can play within your territory. What we are failing to do and achieve is what we call territorial awareness. And so God will give you a space and you play with it. You allow just anybody to get into that space. The reason why a lot of marriages are failing is because people don't realize that when God gave you a marriage, he gave you a territory. When God gave you children, he gave you territory. So if you don't pray and mark your territory for the kids that God has given to you, a wicked woman will come and take your child away. A wicked man will come and abuse your daughter. Why? Because you did not mark a territory. Because if you mark a territory, It will determine which people are able to get in there. May God give you territorial awareness. Am I talking to believers in this space? May God give you territorial awareness. If you are aware of your territory, you determine what comes in and what goes out. And not only that, no encroachment can come around you because you are there. From today, we pray that God will guard your territory for you, because I'm talking about the two sides. You are supposed to guard it, but God as a lion also, that's why the Bible calls him the lion of the tribe of Judah. He protects the territory that he has. In John chapter 17, he said unto the Father when he was praying that those that you gave me, I lost none. That is the sight and the might and the understanding and the mentality of a lion, that what I have, I can't lose it. May God bring you to that place where you don't lose what God has given to you. May God protect your territories for you. May your territories be preserved. May your territories be protected. May God mark your territories as well. And we also pray that whatever territories God has given to you, he will open your eyes to see it, that you also mark your territories and protect your territories. The lion doesn't only protect his territory by urinating in the space. No, the lion is called the king of the jungle, because the lion doesn't make noise, it just makes moves. The lion does not make noise when it wants to attack, it just quiet and it creeps in. Why? Because most of the things that are achieved mightily in life does not come with a noise. Noise does not precede a great accomplishment. Moves will always precede a great accomplishment. And having the lion mindset simply means, instead of talking too much, start making moves for God. Instead of blowing your own horn or trumpet, start making a move for God. And any move that you make, may God give you the place as your portion of the inheritance. The Bible says, in every place the sole of your feet shall tread upon, God will give it to you as your portion of the inheritance. May God give you the understanding to make moves from this very moment, that you will not just sit down, but you will calculate and make the right moves and exact upon what God has given to you. The lion doesn't make noise, he makes moves. He's a king, but he knows when to be quiet. The king of the jungle, that is the terrain of the lion, but he still knows and understands when to keep quiet. He just creeps in, and when he feels that there is something in the territory that he doesn't like, or wants to call others to come together, what the lion will do is to roar. Any roar of the lion is to send a signal to anybody that is coming around that, you know what, if you thought there were pushovers in this place, I am here to possess my territory. For upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. You see, until you get to a place where you understand that when God gives you a place, you are supposed to sound an announcement and roar in your spirit and roar in the flesh and make sure that the enemy knows that you know what you know. Because the Bible says the battle of a warrior is with a confused noise. What it means is that you don't just keep quiet when they are taking what belongs to you. And so when they are coming after your children, it is your duty to roar. When they are coming after your marriage, it is your duty to roar. When they are coming after your business, it is your duty to roar. When they come against your ministry, it is your duty to roar. That believer has been given something on the inside of him that should make him roar like a lion. The Bible says, and the righteous shall be as bold as a lion. The lion knows that, well, is an elephant coming, is bigger, but I have something that can intimidate that elephant that is coming. The lion knows that maybe a leopard is coming, it is sharper. Maybe a cheetah is coming, it is faster, but I have something that can stop a cheetah in its track. And the lion begins to roar. I don't know what you are feeling right now, but I wish you could roar and tell the enemy that I know what I have, and keep your hands off my children. Is there anybody in this house that is ready to roar, that keep your hands off my business, keep your hands off my family, keep your hands off my ministry, keep your hands off my health, keep your hands off my life, keep your hands off me, keep your, look at somebody and say, begin to roar. Look for seven people. Can I do this with you? Look for seven people and tell them, neighbor, oh neighbor, begin to roar. and any roar is just a signal that keep your hands off my family, keep your hands off my wife, keep your hands off my husband, keep your hands off my child, keep your hands off my finances, keep your hands off my health, keep your hands off. Is there anybody ready to roar in the house? Come on, lift your voice. The believer is not supposed to be quiet. The believer is supposed to roar, even in the midst of adversity. Lion, when it's roaring, everything comes to a standstill. No matter your speed, your agility, your dexterity, you have to stop and check it out. Whatever was coming against you, may this roar cause them to stop. No, this place is weak. Let me look for somebody who is ready to roar. Whatever is coming against you, may this your roar make them stop. May this your roar. Is there anybody in this house? May this your roar. May your roar make them stop. Whatever was eating your health, may your roar make them stop. Whatever was eating your happiness, may your roar make them stop. Whatever was eating your finances, may your roar. The lion roars, they come to a standstill. The lion is able to communicate clearly that this is my territory, and what is mine, you can't take it. And that excites me about the lion. Any communication of the lion is just telling anything and anybody and anyone that is coming around that this is mine and you can't take it from me. From today, I pray for you that what is yours, may nobody in this world, am I in the maker's house at all? What is yours, may nobody take it from me. What is yours, may nobody take it from you. What is yours, may God. It excites me because it's not just the eagle and the lion that he spoke about with regards to the animals. He went on to also talk about the wild ox. And I'm excited talking about the wild ox in the next couple of minutes, because when it comes to the wild ox, one of its characteristics and strength that you'll find out is that it has stamina and endurance. It has stamina. It has endurance. The ox, the wild ox, is the only animal in the world that can stand up to the lion in combat. It doesn't have the canines like that of the lion, but it's able to look at the lion and say, okay, let's settle this here and now. And when it's being fought and it feels tired, it is the only animal that can rest in action. Okay. So whilst it's still fighting and it is tired, it's resting to build energy again. So it doesn't have to sleep to build energy. So whilst it's even fighting, it's still building another momentum. And so it, let me say this in chi. I don't know if you understand that. If you decide to engage it into battle, you will be worn out. Why? Because when you are tired and when you are growing weary, it's gaining more strength. I don't know who thought he was fighting you, but there is something on the inside of you gaining more stamina and capacity that your strength gets renewed.
That's the nature of the lion. It renews its strength. It renews its strength. And so when you are thinking, whilst you are thinking, this thing is tired, now it's getting tired. I'm going to get over it. And I believe that that's what they are thinking. Now you are getting tired. And so they are going to get over you. Now you are getting tired. We fought her for years. We fought him for years. Now she is getting tired. But there is something on the inside of you. They that know their God, they shall be strong. And they shall do exploit. They that know their God, they shall be strong. May your strength be renewed. May God renew your strength daily. May God bring you to a place.
I love that about the horse, because even whilst it's fighting, it's resting to gain momentum. So if they are fighting you, tell them that they have a long way to go, because you are not going to go weary. You are not going to go weary. The Bible says that they will walk and not go weary. They will run and not faint. That is what it means. There is something on the inside of us. It gives us stamina and endurance. And so if they were giving you 2 years to pass out, let them wait for a long time, because 20 years to come, you'll still be flourishing. 50 years to come, is there anybody in this place? 50 years to come, you will still be thriving. 60 years to come, 30 years to come, 20 years to come, may you outlive your adversary. What you don't understand, what you don't understand, is that the horse has something that makes it outlive its adversaries. It might not have all the powerful things around it, but it has endurance. God is raising another generation that has endurance. I'm telling you. So if they were thinking that we are going to die in a matter of months, tell them they are going to wait for a long time, because in another 50 years, you will still be standing. In another 60 years, you'll still be standing. May God give you the ability to outlive your adversaries. May God give you the capacity to outlive your adversaries. May God give you what it takes to outlive. Is there anybody in this place? Come on, shout unto God. May God give you that.
I honestly want to wrap it up, but there's something pushing me, because that's not the only thing about the horse. When the horse appears to be in a place or in a scenario that is adversarial, or in a place that is not comfortable, is in a hostile environment, the ox will appear like going back. It will appear to you that the horse is retreating. But the horse has something that David saw and wrote in Psalm 92. Because the ox will always have a hump at the back. The hump at the back of the horse is not just so that when you kill the horse, you will have fat to enjoy. It is a storage tank of oil. It is what God has stored at the back of the ox, such that when it's in a place where it is uncomfortable, it goes back and allows the fat to melt. And when the fat is melting, it spreads around the body, such that when you touch the ox, it becomes slippery that you can't grip the ox. That is what I'm talking about. May God place that oil on your life. David said, he has anointed my head with oil. The ox carries oil, and the oil spreads around its body. And so when you throw your talons on it, you can't grip the ox. You cannot bite into the ox. You cannot destroy the ox, because there is oil flowing around the ox. May God anoint you with fresh oil. May an oil that will make you untouchable. Can I talk to somebody real quick? May an oil that makes people untouchable. You don't get it. You don't get it. You don't get it, but let me just say it. When the horse is retreating, you know that, but you have not taken notice of it. It's called a hump in their world. The hump is just a storage for fat. That when it is under severe pressure and it goes back, God did a mechanism in the ox that fat will melt and go all around the body. Two things happens whenever the oil melts around the oars, parasites cannot be on it. What it means is that God is bringing you to a place where parasites and blood suckers will not get your blood. Oh no, I wish I could talk to somebody. God is bringing you to a place where parasites and blood suckers, that is what the parasites, they do. They suck blood. God is bringing you to a place where parasites and blood suckers will not be able to suck your blood. God is bringing you to a place where if they touch you, you'll become slippery in their hands. That is what the oil does. When the oil is in the ox becomes slippery. And so you cannot grip it. You cannot just take hold of it. May God make you slippery in the hands of your enemies. I wish I was talking to somebody. May God make you slippery in the hands of your enemies. May God make you slippery. May you slip through their fingers when they try to get hold of you. May God make you... Can you look for 7 people, touch them, and tell them God is going to make you slippery. God is going to make you slippery. God is going... 7 people I'm counting. Tell them God is going to make you slippery. Actually, that's what the oars does. Become slippery. Oh, I love it. So when David says, "Thou anointest my head with oil," David understood what he was talking about. When David said, "Thou anointest my head with oil, that my cup runs over," there is something about the overflow. When the oil begins to spread all around your body, when the oil is on you, when they come after you, they will come into contact with oil. When they come after you, they will touch oil. Whoever will want to hold you will hold oil. May you be slippery in the hands of your adversaries. I wish I was prophesying to somebody. Can I prophesy to 1,000 of you in the house? May the Lord make you slippery. May the Lord make you slippery. When the horse is retreating, if you don't know the horse, you think the horse is backing off. But the horse is not. So sometimes when you push me and I'm not talking, it's not because I can't fight back, but I'm waiting for the oil to spread properly. I'm waiting for the oil to spread properly. When you come after me and you are insinuating and I'm quiet, I'm just retreating to allow the oil to cover me from my head to my toe. I'm just allowing the oil to flow. And after the oil has saturated my being, I will come for you. And when I come for you, you cannot touch me. That is why David said, "Touch not my anointed." That is the revelation behind that word. "And do my prophets no harm." Because when the oil is on somebody, you cannot touch the person and you cannot harm the person. May a fresh release of an anointing. Can I talk to somebody who believes in God? May a fresh release of an anointing come over your life, that wherever you go, you will be untouchable. Wherever you go, you will be unstoppable. Wherever you go, there cannot be any force that will stop you in your movement. May that be your portion. Shout yes. I read about the ox and I got that and I said, "Who? This is it." What makes God add the ox and not the elephant? It's because the elephant, although it's big, doesn't have the oil that is a protective layer. What God has on us is that there is a storage of oil on our lives. There is a storage of oil. You are not ordinary. You have something. Can you look for 3 people and tell them, "I am not ordinary"? Okay, I'm going to allow you to do something today. Look at somebody and tell the person, "Take a picture with me if you can. Because I have something on my life. You don't see it now, but I'm allowing it to settle." Oh, yeah. Listen. What I asked you to do, you didn't do it for me. I'm going to say it again. I want you to look for somebody and tell the person, take a picture with me if you can. Because in just a matter of time, the oil is going to spread. And when the oil manifests, my forehead is going to glow. You'll see me taking territories. You'll see me fulfilling destiny. Maybe by that time, my security will not allow you close. Come on, shout, yes! The ox cannot fly. The ox cannot roar. But the ox has oil. Sometimes if you can't fly and you can't roar, bank on the oil that God has placed on your life. Look at somebody and say, my head has oil. Oh, no, 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 no. Can you look for somebody and tell the person there is oil on this head? No, tell somebody there is oil on this head. This head you are seeing, there is oil. You'll notice that all the three of them, they face adversity. And God gives them, all of them, something different. That is also to let you know that God doesn't want you to be static in your approach to life. There should be dynamism. There are times you roar. There are times you fly. But there are times you just allow the oil to take its place. There are some times you roar. There are some times you fly. But there are some times that you just have to allow the oil. Look at somebody and say, there are times you roar. There are times you fly. But sometimes too, just allow the oil to saturate your being and keep moving. Lift your voice and give God praise in the house. Hallelujah! Can I get you lifting up your right hand? I just want to pray with you before we do all that. But please be upstanding if you are seated and let's pray. Listen. This morning's session, last week we did a roaring part. This session, oil saturation. Anoint my head with oil. Let the oil flow. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. All of that. I've done that psalm before at the old site. How many of you were there? Okay, how many of you were not there when I was treating the Psalm 23 series? If you are many, I'll do it again next year. So let me see. If you are many. Okay, I might have to do it again next year. In the course of next year, I might have to treat the whole of Psalm 23 again. And do maybe Psalm 91 as well with you. But the beauty of the shepherd is that the shepherd has the understanding that whilst it's in the forest or going grazing, it has to apply oil on the sheep so that the parasites will not eat it or suck the blood. With the ox, it doesn't have a shepherd. And God calls it a wild ox. Because there will be a time in your life where there will not be any pastor around you. You'll get to a time in your life that when you call a pastor or a prophet or an apostle or a bishop, you'll not find them. So God, in his wisdom, stored the oil in you. That a shepherd will not have to apply it. Stored the oil in you. So that when you are under pressure and you step back and they think you are retreating,
If they had known, they wouldn't have crucified the King of Glory, because Jesus retreated for 3 days. And on the third day, when the oil had saturated his being, he came back and took the keys of hell. The oil saturates. Please lift up your right hand with me. I just want somebody who is a believer to pray a prayer. The prayer of faith, a prayer from your heart. Lord, oil. I don't want to even say much. Lord, I just need oil. Maybe some of us, we have wasted the oil on our lives. The storage, we wasted it. But Lord, anoint my head with fresh oil. You see, where God is sending you to, the next season of your life, it's not going to be based on contacts. It's going to be based on anointing. David did not have to know the king to be a king. David had to just be anointed to be a king. David did not even know the God who was sending the prophet. But the God of the prophet knew the David who didn't know him. And even in his ignorance, God chose him before time. And God did not take him to the royal college to learn how to use cutlery and table manners. He just said to him, I have found David, my servant. God did not say, David has prayed. He said, I found him. And the only thing that is going to make him unique from everybody else is the oil. He said, when you meet David, anoint him with oil and say that he is the captain of my people. And when he met him, he just poured oil on a young boy who was on the backside of the desert minding his own business. And that time, his life changed. Please lift up your right. I don't know, but there is an anointing that when it comes upon your life has no other alternative than to get changed. This morning, I don't want you to pray against a devil. Because when there is oil, the devil doesn't exist. You might be confused. Let me rewind and explain. When there is oil on your life, when there is light, you don't bother with darkness. It's the same thing. When there is oil on your life, they touch you and you're untouchable. They try to hold you and you are slippery. So although they are there, in your world, they don't exist. They are there, but in your world, they do not exist. Lift up your right hand. Is there anybody who converts their oil? In the next few minutes, I just want you to pray. Maybe you have to touch in the spirit realm, touch your son, touch your daughter, touch your relative, touch somebody, and just say that, Lord, let your oil come upon him. Let your oil come upon her. Let her being be saturated with your oil and anointing. Anoint his being. Anoint me afresh. Let your oil rest on me. Let your oil sit on me. Let your oil lift your voice with me and begin to pray right now. Let your oil, let your oil, let your oil, let your oil anoint my head with oil. Come on now.
Thank you for listening to Destiny Word by Dr. Michael Bwedi Nyamiche. We believe you have been impacted to fulfill your purpose. For more transformative and uplifting teachings from Dr. Nyamiche, kindly join us at the Maker's House Chapel International Destiny Arena, adjacent the School of Nuclear and Allied Sciences. Join any of our services, Sunday Word from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., teaching service on Wednesdays from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., and our flagship program, Morning Aura, on Saturdays from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. to engage in prayer and experience the supernatural. You can also be part of our online services, Command Your Morning, every weekday from 4:45 a.m. to 6 a.m., and Power Up Your Week every Sunday from 11:30 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. on our social media platforms. For more information about our ministry, you can reach out to us on 020-004-7488 or 026-681-3275. Additionally, visit our website at www.themakershouse.org. God bless you abundantly as you journey towards your destiny with courage and faith. Destiny Word. Be empowered to take territories and fulfill destinies.